Good morning. This is the study of Joel Goldsmith's Spiritual Power of Truth. We're on Chapter 17, The Power of Truth. We are all brothers and sisters. We are one, and we are one family. The moment I see that this is your relationship, do you not realize there is a bond between us? I did not establish that bond, nor did you. God established that bond. However, I recognize it and have brought myself into obedience to it and to oneness with it. And now, this law of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man is in operation in my life. By my perceiving this, not only my attitude to you changes, but your attitude to me changes. Remember, I am speaking of everyone in this world. So even when I go out into the world of strangers, into the hotels, into the airports, into the publishing market, into the business world, or any other, just think what happens in my recognition that all these people are offspring of God. My brothers and sisters, I have this feeling toward them, and can you not see what feeling must come back to me? This is because the love that is poured out must come back. So it is that this love that is poured out, and you must see the nature of this love, is a love that is truth, really. This truth I am pouring out in the recognition of you as my brother or my sister, child of my father. It compels me to treat you honorably. It compels me not to act towards you in any manner that I wouldn't act toward a member of my household. It compels me because you are of my household. The fact that we live under different roofs has nothing to do with it. Now, this very love that I am pouring out, this very truth of being, you can feel. The reason you can feel it is this: there is only one mind. Whatever truth is taking place in my mind, you feel. This is how it is that you can have healing through a practitioner. Whatever truth the practitioner knows, the patient responds to. The practitioner does not have to project his thought to a patient. That was the old-fashioned method of treatment, and it has no place anymore in spiritual work. As long as I know that I and the Father are one, and that I am at one with God, and all that the Father hath is mine, anyone who has reached out to me for help receives the power of that truth. Why? Because it took place in the one mind. We are not separate minds. There is only one mind. And every bit of truth that permeates my being is at the same moment permeating the being of all who are receptive. Therefore, the love that I pour out is poured back to me. After a lesson of this nature, one of our students, a girl, left the classroom and went home on a bus. On the bus there was a very intoxicated man who was very boisterous and using unseemly language. This student sat quietly, realizing the essence of this lesson, that there is only one of us, that there is only one God, one principle, that we are all of one household, and so forth. This student found her inner peace, and very soon this man quieted down. Then, when the man went to leave the bus, he stopped next to the girl, touched her on the shoulder, and said, "Thank you for praying for me. I will never drink again." The point is, you see, whatever of spiritual truth there is operating in my consciousness is felt by you. This is because we are only one mind. We are together in one place of one mind. We are all in one consciousness. Now, my attitude towards this world is the attitude that the world pays back to me. I am not speaking of this in any human sense. I don't say, be good to anyone and they'll be good to you. I am not saying that as you are to others, so they will be to you. I am saying that the truth that you know in what is what will return to you, this truth that you know, if you know this truth, that God is the only Father, the only cause, and the creative principle, and that we are brothers and sisters, then this compels you to act towards this world with justice, kindness, benevolence, and integrity. No. He's not saying you're sowing and reaping. He's saying what you pour out comes back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. So you can be assured of this. The very truth that I am knowing about you, you respond to. It is the way in which I am seeing through knowing the truth that brings back my experience. As long as you believe that men are good and evil, or that some are good and some are evil, or that they are all made up of some good and some evil, well, that is exactly what is going to be measured back to you. Your own belief is going to come back to you. So we don't want beliefs. We want knowing. Knowing is not belief. Knowing is knowing. If you have the experience of one mind and you dwell in it, whether for meditation or for a healing or for just contemplation, this is the way. This is knowing. Now, when I say to someone, I believe that the Republicans are right, or I believe that the Democrats have it down, well, that's belief. That's not knowing. You can say, well, I've seen him over a period of years, and so it is knowing. No. Knowing has to be by experience. Belief is by thought, which should give you a clue that the experience is not a thought. You should awaken to this truth that there is no evil in anyone. All evil is an activity of the carnal mind. It is not of man. Now, carnal mind is a term meaning nothingness. You must remember, we have already established who you are. Since there is only one Father, you are the child of that one Father. You are an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. You are the very Christ of God. We know now who you are. Therefore, any evil, sin, disease, death, lack, old age, anything you want to call it that appears to be in you, I recognize to be a delusion of the senses. Now, we live in and through the senses, which create all these delusions. And so we live an entire lifetime in the illusion or the delusion. Or we know the truth. What truth? There's one mind, one Father, one Son. And by withdrawing from the senses and resting back in that one mind, that one Son, something happens. We may feel it. We may not. We may see it melting the appearance. We may not. In one way or another, we will experience this one self. And then we know. We know the truth, which makes us free from the sense life. It is an illusory picture that is being presented to me by the carnal mind. Now, the carnal mind is these senses, but it's a delusion. So the senses can only show you a delusion. The soul can reveal infinite spirit. I am no more fooled by it than I am fooled by an ocean in the middle of the desert. I am not fooled by appearances, because the truth of your identity has been revealed to me. Therefore, when sin, false appetite, disease, old age, death, any such appearance of discord presents itself to me, I must know the truth. And, of course, there's no truth about the problem. The only truth there is about God. That's why it's truth. God is not the author of sin, disease, or death. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the evils of the human world. And God is not in the goods of the human world either. God is in the still, small voice that is in the midst of you. Therefore, I stop malpracticing you. Remember that as a human being, my whole life is devoted to malpracticing you. That's what we do as human beings. Oh, isn't she special? The gymnastics she just did, nailed it, and nailed the landing. 10.0. Well, that's malpractice. I'm seeing a human being. Whether good or evil, it's the same cutout paper doll. As a human being, my whole life is devoted to malpracticing you. I am seeing you sick. I am seeing you sinful. I am seeing you old. I am seeing you dying. That is mental malpractice, nothing more, nothing less. Every one of us is guilty of that to some degree. Well, here's a fellow that gets in his truck down in New Orleans and he drives into a crowd of people on purpose. How horrible, how evil. I'm malpracticing. I'm not seeing the truth. That's not the truth. I'm seeing what the senses are reporting, and then I'm judging the picture that I'm seeing. What frees us from the effects of malpractice is to stop malpracticing. Now listen, you can take this whole chapter and sum it up in this one sentence. What frees us from the effects of malpractice is to stop malpracticing. So if you stop malpracticing, you're not seeing good, you're not seeing evil, you're knowing the truth within yourself. If you stop malpracticing and you know the truth, you won't show forth malpractice. And so it will free you from any effects of malpractice when you stop malpracticing, because what you pour out comes back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Now, we know this as far as supply goes, but here's another, it's the same law, but it's another angle. What frees us from the effects of malpractice is to stop malpracticing. There is no other way to be freed of the effects of malpractice than to stop malpracticing. Therefore, the moment that I know you and let you go, the moment that I say to you, neither do I judge thee, thy sins be forgiven thee, the moment I understand that God is your Father, and that you are as pure as the Father, for you are of the same life, mind, and substance, I have released you from malpractice, and I have released myself from being a malpractitioner. Since now I am not pouring out malpractice, none can come back to me, because my whole experience is made up of what I pour out. If I know the truth must make me free. And so we are to pour out truth. Now, what have I in my house? Surely there's some truth in there somewhere. And so if you're sitting down to meditate, know the truth. Just know the truth and rest there. And that truth will evolve and grow into other truths, or you will experience truth at a deeper level than you ever have. If I know the truth must make me free. If I know the truth about you, that truth makes me free, because there is only one of us. There is only one life, one mind, one soul. The truth that I know about you is the truth that makes me free. The moment I stop malpracticing, I stop drawing malpractice onto myself. In other words, to be free, I must free you. Now that's the essence of A Course in Miracles, if you've ever looked at it. Set my brother free and I am free. However, this must be practiced. It does no good to read it here and put the book down and never think about it again. It does no good to put the book down and think about it a whole lot. What must happen is to put the book down and remember and start practicing stopping malpractice. And see how it sets you free. See in your own experience, in your own knowing. I can never be free while I am holding anyone in bondage. Never. And so if you think your father owes you this and that, or your sister owes you this and that, or your brother, or your mother, or your neighbor, or the government, or the world. The world owes you a living. You are holding all of the above in bondage. And you're holding yourself in the same bondage. So, if you have a problem, physical, mental, emotional, financial, relationships, if you have a problem, you must ask yourself, where and how am I malpracticing? And then you must practice the opposite. You must practice non-malpracticing, which is to say you must practice the truth of being. And see your own problem disappear. That's all a practitioner does for you. They stop malpracticing you. And one with that God mind, knowing the truth, is a majority. The spiritual law is that you must loose him and let him go. The spiritual law is that you must forgive 70 times 7. The spiritual law is that you must behold God as the life of individual man. You must have the same discernment that Peter had when he said to the Master, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Look out at this world and say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And any evil that I see, hear, taste, touch, or smell is the carnal mind. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do only with the Adamic belief in two powers. Now you can see that the measure of your outpouring is the measure of your incoming. It is just the same as the law of supply. This is the same law of supply at all other levels of life. Unless you have had the experience of doing some healing work, you cannot comprehend what I am saying to you, at least not fully. If you once had the experience of doing healing work, this will open up to you in 5 minutes. Watch it do so. An individual comes to a practitioner, more especially a practitioner of spiritual teaching, and asks for help. Now, it may be that in them there is some sin or false appetite, criticism, judgment, or condemnation. There may be in them some manifestation of disease. But they have come now to the office of the spiritual practitioner, or to the consciousness. They may do it by telephone or mail, but in all events they have brought themselves to the consciousness of the practitioner. Watch now what happens in this practitioner's consciousness. The request is made for help, and the practitioner immediately lets thought go in the direction of God. God is spirit. God is the spirit in man. God is life. God is the life of man. This is contemplation. God is soul. God is the soul of man. God is the source of all supply. God is the supply of man. In fact, God constitutes man's being. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Even your body is the temple of God. God is perfect, and the offspring of God is God expressed. Just as a beam of sunlight is really the sun itself in an individual expression or form, the quality of a beam of sunlight is of the same quality as the sun itself, because it is the sun itself expressed. Therefore, all that God is, man is. All that the Father hath, man hath, and nothing else. In fact, thou that seest me, seest the Father that sent me. Thou that seest man, seest the creative principle, because the creative principle, which is God, is expressed as man. All of a sudden, that person begins to feel a burden lift. This assumes that right there is expressed as man, the contemplator rested in knowing, in observing and beholding. And then all of a sudden, the person that came to them begins to feel a burden lift. First, perhaps, in the mind, and second, in the body. There is a release or a relief. I can tell you what it is. The universal malpractice has been stopped. That malpractice that said you are immortal, conceived in sin, brought forth in iniquity, a mortal who is sinning, a mortal who is guilty of omission or commission, is the universal malpractice that is upon every human being. You know it as well as I do. In your experience, you have had over and over again that feeling, this feeling of being unworthy. I have read it so many times in letters. I am not worthy of God's grace, that I know it now by heart. I can recite it. But it is not true. It's not truth. No one is unworthy. God wouldn't let you live if you were unworthy. No one is unworthy, and no one has in himself any iniquity. You remember the statement of Paul? I know that I am not perfect, but on the other hand, I know that I am not sinning, and yet I feel in me a sense of sin. So it is with every one of us. There is a universal sense of sin in all of us, because we know that in our humanhood we have never lived up to the full measure of our Christhood. No one ever has, no one ever can. This is not to claim that any human being is or ever was perfect. This is the truth about you. You are perfect. You have never been a fallen man. All of this fall that you have heard about is the dream of mortal existence. See, if you're doing any falling, you're falling asleep. Asleep, where you have no awareness of your true identity, or my true identity. You have only the malpractice of the human mind. But now we are on the spiritual path together, and some of us here and there are awakening. We're awakening to the truth. All that the Father is, I am. The moment the practitioner recognizes this, the universal malpractice is broken. You know, the flu does not come because of any personal sin. No, it is a universal malpractice brought about by the belief in infection, contagion, and the belief in this germ theory. It is a universal belief, a universal malpractice. That is all it is. So whether one individual gets the flu or 1,000, it should not be difficult for you to meet it. For the individuals and for your whole community, if only you recognize it as a universal malpractice, then drop it. Because a universal malpractice is not authored by God, has no law of God to support it, and you do not have to fight it. So there's two parts to this, right? Contemplating the truth, recognizing that what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is universal malpractice, and then drop it. And rest right there, standing still. You will see something that is not human begin to take over, begin to flow out. You will be pouring out truth. You see, in this message of the infinite way, our entire healing work is done by not taking up the sword. Our entire healing work is done by not using truth over error, by not trying to have God heal a disease. Our entire healing work is done by a recognition of the truth being that which is not of God has no law to sustain it. Therefore, you do not have to fight it. You only have to recognize it and then drop it. The moment you recognize that an epidemic of any nature is but a universal malpractice, you do not have to fight it anymore. It has no power right now. When you know this truth of true identity, Think of yourself as being somewhere separate from mankind and looking out at them. Then realize that you are looking out at yourself. Your divine self made manifest as billions of people. And act that way toward them. Do not hold them in condemnation for their human thoughts, for that which they cannot help until they awaken to their true identity, any more than you or I can help our human faults until we awaken to our true identity. I know this from experience. Before this first experience came to me, I knew all of my faults, and I also knew how I would like to be without those faults, and I knew full well how I never succeeded in overcoming them. Then, when this experience came upon me, those faults disappeared of their own. Whatever the nature of this Christ was, they disappeared. In the moment that you begin to know the truth, you break the human malpractice, and you find that your nature changes. Your nature changes in proportion as you see my true nature, my true identity. When you can look at me, not as a human being, not as a person with a past, present, or future, when you look at me in the same way that I am looking at you and describing you, God is your Father. You are wholly spiritual in nature. Perfection constitutes your being. Infinity is the measure of your supply of good. Truth is the law of life unto you. Immortality is your lifespan. As you begin to perceive this world in this way, you break the malpractice that has been upon you by breaking the malpractice of others. So you really are in charge of your own spiritual freedom, aren't you? You hold it in your hands. You can either live as a human being and live through and by and for the senses, or you can drop it. Know the truth. God is true identity, and God appears as man. And then rest in that until you actually feel that God you've been contemplating. All of this takes place up in your consciousness. You may be living in an atmosphere of opposition to this truth. You might be in a home where nobody believes this, and there's an opposition to truth. If so, you don't ever have to voice it. You don't have to let anyone know you are thinking this truth. Outwardly, you can conform. Suffer it to be so now, or render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. You can say anything you want with your lips, but what is important is taking place in your consciousness. To know the truth that this is but a malpractice and not the presence or power of God must free me. However, do you not see that in freeing me it frees you too? Because the universal truth, a truth which you know, frees you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Even if the truth you are knowing is the truth about me, any truth that you know. That is why we pray for others. We no longer have to pray for ourselves. You reach a place where you no longer think of praying for yourself or doing meditation or spiritual work for yourself. It just never enters your mind. Why? Well, what is the difference between knowing the truth about you and knowing the truth about me? It is the same truth. And we are the same being, the same self. So knowing the truth is all that is necessary, regardless of whether you are knowing it about the human race, or about even the animal world, or the bird world, or the fish world. It is for this reason that in my own work, I am called upon very often by students and their families to help with their dogs or cats or birds. Sometimes someone is surprised that I am not too busy to do it. But what they do not understand is that it is just knowing the truth. Now, what difference does it make whether a bird benefits by it or a cat or a dog? In the end, I am the one who is really going to get the most benefit from it, because that knowing of the truth is elevating me in consciousness above this world. So it doesn't matter. This is why we have the opportunity, when someone asks for help, which they do more than once a week, in our group online, we have the opportunity to do this work. First, you have to recognize what they're reporting they need help with is this mental malpractice. And my job is to stop malpracticing. God did not create this. It has no power, therefore I rest. Father, reveal thyself. I listen, I behold, I wait upon the Lord. One mind, one spirit, one self. I come in a moment ye think not. I come in a way ye know not of. I come that you might have life, and life more abundantly, the real life, the Christ life, the God expression life. The major truth of all is, break the malpractice, break the Antichrist that is holding man in bondage. Nothing else is holding him in bondage. Do not ever believe that man is held in bondage by other people. Do not ever believe that man is held in bondage by poverty, or held in bondage by disease. These are the effects. That is why it says in Scripture, lay the axe at the root of the tree. Do not start picking off branches. And what is the root of the tree? Malpractice. Universal malpractice. It's a belief in two. Two of anything. This is a world created by God, and it's one. God created one. One world, one mind, one soul, one spirit, one self, one son. The minute you heal a person of a headache, sure as anything, they will turn up with a footache or a heartache. Heal them of a heartache, and the next thing you know, it will be the liver or the lungs or the kidneys. It is nonsense to heal people of disease. Now, there's a good sentence to put over your mirror or paste up next to the mirror. It is nonsense to heal people of disease. Utter nonsense. Instead, remove from them the malpractice of this universal belief in two powers. Remove from them this malpractice of the belief that they are human beings. That is what you have to do. So we are not healing anyone of anything. We are removing the malpractice of the belief that they are human beings. You see, it is all up to you, and it is all up to me. It is the degree of the knowing of the truth that I do that sets me free, even when it is the truth about you. It, then, is breaking this malpractice. All right, so once again, the one line in this chapter that gives you the entire secret. What frees us from the effects of malpractice is to stop malpracticing. And so I would like you, because I'm doing it, to make a commitment this week. Make a commitment to know this truth and practice it. When you go out to the grocery store and you pass people in the aisles, don't just go by them and seeing a little old lady or an old grumpy old man or some teenagers or some newlyweds. Don't go into that store and take your malpractice in there with you. Go in there with truth. Set them free. And you set yourself free. Go in there knowing God is individual being. I'm not going to malpractice you. God is your being, and you don't say it out loud. You know it in your consciousness. God is your being. God is your being. This picture is malpractice. That's malpractice. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop. You are God as individual being, and all that God is, you are. And all that God has, you have. Oneness. I behold oneness. And let the two-ness drop away. We don't fight it. We don't have to do something about it. We have to recognize, malpractice, and then drop it. We are to know the truth, and the truth will make us and them free. And so by freeing you, I free myself. By knowing the truth for you and those who reach out, I am knowing the truth for myself. So make a commitment to do this week. I'm sure that you'll forget more than you'll remember, but that's okay. You go to the coffee shop, you order a sandwich and a cup of soup, and the waitress comes over and you are looking at her and knowing this truth. All that God has, I have. You're knowing this about her or him. And they go away and you sip your water, and pretty soon someone comes in the door of the restaurant. You look over there and they look like a hoodlum. They have they're dark in nature. They have a lot of tattoos, and there's a hoodie. They have a hoodie on, and they just look like a dark individual. And you're tempted to, well, lightning flash, your mind starts to malpractice. So, catch it. I see thee, I know thee who thou art. And it's not that judgment I just saw forming. That has no power whatsoever. It has no presence. And I drop it. And I know the truth. Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And I set you free. Just then, that same individual comes walking towards my table. And they bend down and they pick up a dollar bill and they say, "Did you drop this?" And they put it on the table. Well, isn't that a kind thing to do? And so I say, "No, but thank you. You can keep it if you want to." You see? Now, 5 minutes before, that was the devil. And now, 5 minutes later, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is where you do the work. This is where the rubber hits the road. Out when you're about your business. You should be about the Father's business. What is the Father's business? He told you, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am about my Father's business. That's what he said, and he was, and it did. My life should not be lived as a human being anymore. If I'm serious about this path, I will recognize I set myself free from all these effects of malpractice by stopping malpractice from operating in me. And by knowing the truth and resting in it, there remaineth a rest to the children of God. All that the Father hath is mine. Ah, I can rest in that. I have come that you might have life. Ah, I can rest in that. I go before you to prepare a place for you. Ah, I can rest in that. One mind, one soul, one presence, one self, one with God. Ah, I can rest in that. So make a commitment to practice non-malpractice this week. As I said, you might forget more than you remember, but each time you remember, you're setting yourself free and you're setting the one you look upon free. Don't hold anyone in bondage anymore. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or Martian. Hold no one in the grasp of malpractice. And by stopping malpracticing, you set yourself free from the effects of malpractice. Okay? Make the commitment for just this week, and we'll meet back here in a week and see what we've discovered. And if you want to write me about it, that's fine. Okay. Again, thank you for drawing this talk out. It's so very important. That one sentence, that's all you need to know. Practice that one sentence. Stop the malpractice and set yourself free. And join me in the fellowship of spirit, where we no longer malpractice anyone, where we walk in freedom, in God, and we behold Christ liveth in me. Thank you.